The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus says in today's gospel, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and mustard seed is very tiny, you could say to a mulberry tree, "Uproot yourself and throw yourself into the sea." Now, I'm going to give one of you fine folks an opportunity today to show your faith the size of a mustard seed. I know who it's going to be. Okay, it's going to be one of you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand here, I'm going to wait till through your faith, you have me rise to the ceiling, okay? Now keep slow, please. I don't want to get vertigo, okay? So whoever it is, go ahead. I'm waiting. We have a problem, don't we? We have a big problem. One commentator, Dr. John Bergsma, says that in this gospel, Jesus is not berating the apostles for not having faith. He's actually saying to them, "You do have faith the size of a mustard seed. You do have faith the size of a mustard seed. So why don't you use it?" So he's saying that to us as well. We do have faith the size of a mustard seed. But just think, a mustard seed, very tiny. Our faith, very tiny, can do great things. So what is holding us back from claiming the gifts that God gives us and using them? What are we doing with our faith? What is the obstacle between us and claiming the faith and doing great things so that people will have their attention drawn to God and the kingdom of God and come to believe? That's the purpose of working miracles in faith. It's not just to do something wonderful, but rather to draw people's attention to the fact that the kingdom of God is breaking through in our lives and through our actions. And that's up to us. In that first reading from the prophet Habakkuk, what does he say? He says, "Lord, why don't you intervene? Why aren't you doing anything? Why don't you stop the violence?" And God's probably saying, "Why don't you do it? I've given you the faith to do it. What are you doing with that faith?" Same thing God says to us. You know, we can say, "Lord, look at the world. Look at what's going on." And we keep thinking, "Lord, you have got to do the intervention." But God says to us, "No, I've given you everything. I've given you faith. I've given you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why aren't you using them? What's getting in the way of our faith and using our faith?" The norm for Christians is not lack of faith, but it's rather faith, the size of a mustard seed. You know, we think, all of us, we're probably saying, "I don't have faith the size of a mustard seed. I can't do that." Well, who's putting that idea into our heads? God? No, the devil. The devil. He doesn't want us to believe and to trust in the Lord's promises. He doesn't want us to realize that, yes, we are standing on a gold mine, a spiritual nuclear power plant that's called faith, and what are we doing with it? We're just standing there like crazy people. And what do? We say, Lord, you do it, because I can't do it or I don't want to do it. So again, what's the obstacle that's getting in the way of the norm for all Christians that we do have faith the size of the mustard seed? We're called to use it, but we're not using it. Well, there's a couple of things I think we would all agree. Maybe pride. Pride in this sense that I'm not going to step forward in faith because if I fail, what will people think of me? That's pride. That's not good. Or fear. Fear. Again, what if I step forward and do this and I fail? Or I succeed, then what will be expected of me? Even more. Pride, fear. All those things come from the devil, and he doesn't want us to think, believe, trust in God, that what God has given to us, we can use to build up the kingdom of heaven. About 4 years ago, I attended a conference in the Diocese of Buffalo for the renewal of Buffalo's parishes. And there was a deacon from Chicago giving a talk, and he said in his parish in Chicago, they were reading at Easter time, which we do too, the Acts of the Apostles, and they were all amazed at everything that was going on, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, healings, talking in tongues, and they were saying, well, is the Holy Spirit still with us today? Does he still give us those gifts or offer us those gifts? Why aren't we using them? So what they literally did was to start to pray for people, particularly for healings. And what happened? Healings happen. Now that's happening all over the world. Average Catholics, average Christians who have faith the size of the mustard seed are coming together and praying for great things, and they are happening. People are still being raised from the dead because people have faith the size of a mustard seed, and they're using it. Are we using our faith? Are we encouraging one another? If we think someone has, let's say, the charism from the Holy Spirit of healing, are we saying, step forward, I'll walk with you, I will support you, let's use that charism to heal people who are in need of it? Or whatever the charism, whatever the gift of the Holy Spirit is, are we a holy, healthy community that recognizes that God is in our midst, still showering us with gift after gift after gift, and we're not using those gifts? We're not claiming them. Again, is it fear? Is it pride? Is it, again, a sense of, I'm not worthy? I'm not worthy. We'll get over it. We're not worthy. But God makes us worthy. That's the point. It's not we make ourselves holy and worthy. It's God who has made us holy and worthy, and therefore we have the right and the obligation to step forward, to claim the gifts God has given us, to use our faith to bring about great things in the world so that people will be drawn to God, to the kingdom of God. So one of the things I want to offer you is, and I'm kind of stealing this from a healing ministry called Unbound, but one of the things that they do in it as part of the healing process is we are led to renounce the lies that we have swallowed. We're led to renounce them in the name of Jesus Christ. So to think about saying something like this, I renounce in the name of Jesus Christ the lie that I am not worthy of God's love. Or I renounce in the name of Jesus Christ the lie that I do not have faith the size of a mustard seed. You can word it any way you want, but that's a powerful prayer, a powerful statement, because what we're saying to Satan certainly is, I renounce you and all your lies, because I want to focus on the truth that God has given me, who I am. In baptism, I have become his adopted son or daughter, which means we are already kinfolk of the Lord. We are already sharing in his divinity. We have powers beyond belief, and we're called to use them, and we are obliged to use them. Again, not to do something spectacular so people would say, oh, isn't that person wonderful, but rather They will say, wow, where do you get that power? Then we can say it's from Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Then people will say, I want to be part of that kind of a community that has that kind of faith, that belief, that trust in God, that we can use the gifts God has given us to do great things in the name of Jesus Christ. So as you go forth today, I offer that little prayer of renunciation. You can word it any way you want, but begin it with, I renounce in the name of Jesus Christ. Very important to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, because we're not doing it, it's God doing it. But I renounce in the name of Jesus Christ, the lie. And you can use whatever word or words you want. And probably you'll use one word, then you think, well, there's another lie I've swallowed. Oh, there's another lie I've swallowed. And to keep stating them, and to keep renouncing them. Because we have been given the most precious gift ever, faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's up to you and to me, and as a community, not as individuals, but as a community of believers, to come together and say, what is wrong with our community that we are not working miracles, great things in the name of Jesus Christ? What is wrong with us? What do we need to correct? What do we need to ask God for forgiveness for? Pride, fear, whatever it might be. What are we not doing? What do we need to do so that we too can say to a mulberry tree, uproot yourself and throw yourself into the sea? And that will become a normal thing. It will not be spectacular, but it's something that we are all able to do in the name of Jesus Christ. So again, as you go forth today, I invite you to take home that prayer and to consciously think how you want to renounce in the name of Jesus Christ whatever the lie is, whatever the untruth is that perhaps you're swallowing and worshiping, that we're all following instead of the Lord. So again, think of that, because we have been given power beyond belief, and it's up to us to take it and to use it in the name of Jesus Christ to build up his kingdom.